Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday in A-Shan. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. We're also on YouTube and Twitch. And you guys are getting involved. Alex on the YouTube said the problem is when it comes to getting in at NRG Stadium for home games, line moves very slow at NRG. They need to open the gate early. I've been in line waiting for up to 45 minutes for the gates to open. So
now what part is taking long as far as the line? Because I know they got a special type of metal detector where you could just walk right through.
Yeah.
You ain't got to take everything out your pockets and wind down and all that stuff. So they made that part easier. So I'm kind of curious.
I think he's talking, maybe he can
generally more, trying to get in the
like
stadium.
Like Bud Plaza and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Just to get in, or maybe even getting into the stadium as in tailgating, which is 4 hours is fine. I know some people would rather get there earlier, but 4 hours is fine. Or is he talking about the actual gates? Because the gates, I've never really had any issue.
Okay. Yeah. I would say the metal detectors, about as easy as easier than TSA. Man.
Yeah.
You just walk right through. They made it a lot easier as far as that.
Yeah, that's the part that I can't speak to. I have not had the experience of that. So, I just wanted to make sure I was covering all of that. But someone else tried to add on to the fireworks thing, if you didn't hear us earlier, talking about the fact that if you haven't noticed at NRG Stadium, they're using fireworks. It's a real big boom. An hour before, I believe 30 minutes before as well, to kind of let people know, hey, let's get into the stadium. Somebody kind of threw up the idea. Maybe you also do different colors to signify the different time, you know?
Well, maybe. I think a little audio system, you know, would be good. Hey, this is CJ Stroud. We got 1 hour to kick off. You know, something like
that. Yeah, it should have like some type of, not a real fire alarm, but like some type of, like Texans fans, time to go in.
Because the fireworks, some people don't even know what it means.
Right, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to make sure to let you know. All right. We're getting ready for Bills Week. Week 5, Bills coming to town. They will be at NRG Stadium, noon kickoff. And we were looking at the coverage map when it comes down to it. CBS in a lot of the country will have this particular game at noon with the Bills and the Texans. So this one is going to be one that is not technically a prime time game, but it's going to be one that is as close as you can get. A lot of parts of the country are going to have the opportunity to watch this game. And so within that, let's get into what D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud are looking forward to and talking about with this game. And of course, the big storyline that's been existing, led into a big long form article from ESPN and all these things, is revenge game. Stephon Diggs playing his last team. And D'Amico Ryan was asked specifically about NFL players facing their old teams. Obviously with the Diggs and the Bills this Sunday.
I think it's always, for that player, it's always in the back of your mind where it's a big deal when you play your former team, because it's a little added weight where you want to beat your team. But it doesn't change our preparation and how we go about our business on a week-to-week basis. It's a matter of guys just going out, and we have to play together. We have to play as a team. We have to play clean football versus Buffalo for us to have a chance to win this game.
It's about as good an answer as you can get. And you heard something similar from Andy Kalu earlier when he joined us about an hour ago. I don't think it's generally like, I want to beat those guys so bad. It's like what they're talking about. You know, I know those guys. I want to win. I want to show them what I am, et cetera. But, all that being said, I think it's a little bit more of a revenge actual quote revenge type game for Stephon, just because of what's been said and maybe what's been said since he's left, depending on how you how you read Josh Allen's comment.
Yeah. Although Josh Allen, I believe yesterday,
he tried to clarify,
and you do wonder how much that's like, I don't know, cleaning up. But I mean, he said that he always has a lot of love for Stephon Diggs, and obviously he's very appreciative of what what Stephon did for Josh Allen's career, and you can't cut that any other way.
Yeah.
Josh Allen was not a good quarterback, and then Stephon Diggs got there, and he started becoming a very good quarterback in this league. Now he's a quarterback to be contended with in this league, and we'll get more about that as we continue hearing DeMeco. But DeMeco was actually also asked about a thing that is a frustration for all of this, and I really just wanted to play this to get a temperature and a gauge on how important it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that this would be the end-all be-all, but how important it feels to the head coach. He was asked about the offensive line struggles of this Texans team.
Like you said earlier, Sarge, with the question, not making excuses for our offensive line. It's been, up and down. It hasn't been, all good. And that's part of the season, right? It's part of that first month of the season. You're finding your way, and you're not playing your best ball when you first start, but it's a matter of getting better throughout the season. And that game last week versus the Jags, I saw our O-line take a tremendous step toward getting better. Great job with the protections, giving CJ time to make those plays down the field to Nico. So I see progression. I see our offensive line getting better, and they'll continue to get better as the season goes on. So I'm proud of the work that they're putting in, right, to dial in on the preparation, to dial in on getting better each and every week. So we'll see that continue to trend in the right direction.
Good for DeMeco to have his offensive lines back, but I think most people didn't see that. He's on the inside. He might see great progression. Did you see great progression? Figgy, did you see great progression? Great?
I saw some progression. Great, I don't know. Is it?
Yeah. As I was about to say, it was bad the week before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say great. But
good for him for having his lines back. All I'm saying is, we're sitting here talking about an hour and a half ago, where would you bet that the Texans make the most progress over the course of the next few weeks? I think offensive line for all of us was at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, I was definitely down there. I haven't felt great about them, and it's been evidenced by you've seen some of these players on this line kind of go down backwards when it comes to not just literally on a play when they're getting moved into CJ Stroud's lap, but also just in their play overall. This game, I think, represents an opportunity, not as a full bounce back, but as an opportunity to maybe get right in some ways, because this Bills pass rush has not been all that great necessarily in applying pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the run defense. Like if you let the advanced metric of EPA let you tell you something, when teams run the football, they have the third highest expected points added per rush attempt against the Bills of any team in the NFL. So like, there is an opportunity here. Is this a great running team? Absolutely not. But I do wonder, this might be the opportunity to see it get as good as possible, especially with the likes of Joe Mixon maybe being back in the course of this week. So, they need to progress in a big way. And if they're not showing a level of progress this week, I do have some real questions.
By the way, you mentioned the offensive line and Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is not practicing today. So not a great sign. Didn't practice yesterday. Didn't practice today. Is not practicing today. Laremy Tunsil, on the other hand, is practicing. This is according to Jonathan Alexander.
Okay, so the ankle's good enough to go today?
The ankle is good enough to go today for Laremy Tunsil. But Joe Mixon not practicing.
It might be another Cam Akers day. Although,
where the hell is Damian Pierce?
He was at practice, but he was not participating in practice yesterday. So,
I like when Figgy gets all, hey, where the hell is Damian?
No, but man of the people, right? There's a lot of people asking that, right? That's wild, especially since Joe Mixon practiced on Friday, that we have 2 days now this week where he's not practicing.
Damian Pierce, not practicing, according to Aaron Wilson. So, yeah, I mean, you got Tank Dell is practicing, Laremy Tunsil is practicing, and Jimmy Ward not practicing, Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce.
They might as well scrap the running plays at this point, man. Let's just air it out. Let's play Madden.
There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of that.
All right, within this, when it comes to the running game, how 1 to 10, real simple. Feelings or like confidence that Joe Mixon plays against the Bills?
5? 50-50?
I'm gonna say 40%.
Okay.
You?
I was gonna say, I want to say six, but like he hadn't practiced the first 2 days,
yeah.
days of practice, and we're now in the same place that we were last week. Even when he did practice on Friday, all of a sudden we got the okie doke on Sunday where he did not go. So I guess I probably am, that's too optimistic at six. I probably need to bring that back down to 50-50, which is interesting because I think when it comes to the possibility of the run game bouncing back into a more positive thing is probably largely dependent on getting Joe Mixon in the run game and having his opportunity to be give his individual brilliance as well, lending that to the game. Someone did mention when it came to the good progression on the offensive line, there was more time to throw for CJ Stroud, and there was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for us, and maybe we're just hanging on to like individual instances that maybe weigh heavily in our imagination, but there was definitely still, with that time to throw, dudes in his lap where CJ yes. was having to move around. Now, maybe we're nitpicking. Maybe we're being a little too tough in that way. But it still feels like...
I don't think so. I know what I saw, you know, and that was C.J. Stroud extending plays, making great plays. Kenyon Green got pushed back a couple times. Laremy Tunsil had some holds. Shaq Mason wasn't, you know, he's a consistently solid player, but he wasn't great. Titus Howard, you know, we gave the PFF grades yesterday. He had a good... overall grade, but he gave up, was it 12 pressures, 10 pressures, something like that? I mean, I admire and I'm glad that D'Amico has his back and has their confidence, but I know what I saw.
All right. So with that being the case, I kind of want to get to the defense here because obviously you have mm-hmm. another one of those elite quarterbacks coming in. There's people looking at him as potentially the MVP early on in this season, and that's Josh Allen with this offense. But he's done even better with the pairing of him and Joe Brady. And so D'Amico was asked about what the Bills have been able to accomplish with Joe Brady calling plays.
I've seen Joe do a really great job of just managing the game and working well. They worked well together as a team. The way their defense is structured, the way they play, they eliminate the explosives, they make you earn it. Offense, you can see they do a good job of staying on schedule and staying on the field, right? It's whether it's running the ball, they've been successful. Their offensive line, really big O-line, that do a great job of moving the defensive line, so they have a lot of space that they create. And Joe has done a great job just staying on schedule, and the quarterback takes what's there. Like, they're not making mistakes. And that's the thing that sticks out about this team. Like, they're not beating themselves with mistakes. They're playing clean football. They're playing disciplined football.
You can hear the coaching point leap right in, mm-hmm. right out at the end of that. Mm-hmm. Not making mistakes. I think that points to just how important it's going to be for the Texans to also not make mistakes, to give themselves a level playing field and an opportunity to win this game.
You heard the same thing I thought. I heard. You wasn't just talking to us.
Yeah, he was coaching through the media in that instance. We've heard him negotiating through the media.
He was talking to his own fellas right there. And let's keep in mind, you know, the Bills, the most recent thing that happened was not good. But boy, they were good before that for 3 weeks.
Yeah, the first 3 weeks. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if that trend continues when it comes to, you saw the Ravens really make it tough on them. And one of the things that the Ravens did not do was not play a lot of man, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the Bills have done a good job of tearing up man when it came to that, you know, that first 3 weeks of the season. And when it came to the Ravens, they made it real tough, real, real tough on these Bills when it came to them playing man, although they did not throw a lot of man at this team. 4 for 10, Josh Allen,
yeah.
with only 32 yards against the Ravens. Now, the Ravens are very particular in the way that they play defense, but I think that this Texans team has the capability of playing good defense. They haven't necessarily strung it all together, and I do wonder, do you see zone? Do you see man? How do you see them attack what has been early on a really good defense, or offense rather, and one that's been pretty disciplined, getting the ball out early, letting the talented players, the you know, shifty players, mm-hmm. use their speed to go ahead and attack a defense. So rallying, swarming
yeah.
to the football is going to be important, and I'm interested to see just how Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryan's plan of attack is against.
Yeah, sometimes you don't overthink it. You know, they were just a juggernaut, scoring 30 something and 30 something and 40 something in their first three games, and then they struggled against the Ravens. If I'm Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryans, I ain't trying to get too cute. I'm gonna do exactly what the Ravens did.
Okay.
Until they can beat it, especially with your DBs, which are obviously good, you know, on the corners, but maybe somewhat of a question at the nickel and not maybe, but somewhat of a question at nickel and at safety. I'm going to do what they did. Whatever, I want what they're having.
But can they do what they did?
Right.
Just run the damn ball.
Well, that's the other side.
You got an advantageous game script, right? You heard D'Amico mention that early on in that clip that we just played. Like, the advantageous game script is what's going to help. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder, because Ocho mentioned this on the text line, and I think that this is an interesting point. D'Amico basically called Josh Allen a game manager, which is actually quite a measure of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, I mean, just in general in this league at this point, is like being able to manage the football game is something where you're seeing tough quarterback play, and especially with the too high shell. We've talked a lot about that just generally in football, how you have to decide to just be content with the easy answers and go ahead and do the right thing every play to move, matriculate down the field. Josh Allen does not, at least the early Josh Allen did not profile as that kind of player. So the amount of growth that it's taken to get him there has been good. But I wonder if you have a game script that puts them in a bad situation and you're playing defense, maybe similar to the Ravens, or at least applying the pressure that can be applied, can you force him into what I like to call Bozo Josh Allen? Like to unveil what is that Bozo gene where now he's trying to do this thing where he's throwing the football downfield or doing stupid stuff. Like, can you push him to that place and move him out of the mature quarterback space that he's gotten into? I don't know if it's possible. Maybe he has grown beyond that. But it'd be great if you can get the game script and if you can play defense in such a way where you can maybe tease that
out.
You
just used the word that I was going to use. I guarantee you, D'Amico Ryans, Ocho, I guarantee you that D'Amico doesn't think he's a game manager. I think what D'Amico is saying is what he likes to get out of C.J. Stroud. You know, be great, be awesome, carry the team, but don't be stupid. You know, don't make the stupid play. And that's the maturity that you're talking about there. The maturity of Josh Allen is what he's complimenting.
All right, so I kind of want to hear from the quarterback on this Bills team as well. But let's talk about the Bills defense right here. C.J., what makes the Bills defense so effective?
Just their ability to bend, not break, you know, like they don't really give up big plays. They have some guys who play their system very well. I know they're dealing with some injuries. But, you know, Ed Oliver jumps out on film. Vaughn jumps out on film. 50 jumps out on film. Like, the backers play really good in the pass game. I think his name 31 Russell, great DB, takes the ball away a lot. Got a lot of respect for him. And then DeMar is playing really good ball as well. So got some key components on that side, and definitely got some playmakers. So, you know, you got to be able to take care of the ball and, you know, be able to, you know, just move the ball and score points.
Yeah.
I mean, no, number 31 go has a bulleton board material.
Russell Douglas.
Oh, you don't know my name.
Oh, you gonna know who I am.
You gonna know who I am.
But yeah, this is where Von Miller not being available for them, Taylor Rapp, like they've got to be able to take advantage of that, because again, he's right. Like, that's a defense that does a good job of not allowing big plays and kind of corralling. They are a little susceptible on the run, so it'll be interesting to see also if they're able to utilize run game. But yeah, CJ's right, man. They're going to have to be on schedule and handle their business, and hopefully they can do those things to help the defense as well. Mm-hmm. Man, this is going to be a fun game. Texans-Bills coming up noon on Sunday. You'll hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll hear a little bit more from both of those gentlemen as we continue on in the program. But we're coming up on that time in the loop where it's time to get our lunchtime confessions, and we will do that next on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, y'all got to help me decide. That's my confession. My confession is I can't decide.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. Is Jerry Jones the biggest badass ever, or is he the biggest egomaniac ever?
I personally would go with the
luxury. Y'all saw what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Dude, they are practicing. The Dallas Cowboys are practicing. Mm-hmm. They're on the practice field.
Correct.
And here comes Jerry Jones in a big-ass helicopter. Yes. That wasn't a little, you know, junior helicopter.
Yeah, that's his chopper.
And lands on the practice field.
That's his helipad.
But they're practicing.
Correct.
Is he just a badass, or is he the biggest egomaniac ever?
Again, I personally would go with the latter. he be doing that, and that's something that the team knows that from time to time you might have to vacate one of your practice fields in order for Jerry Jones to land so that he doesn't have to go through traffic. And that might be a personification of one of the reasons why they are the way that they are. Right?
That was going to be my follow up. I mean, does it affect them? Because I think
the mentality,
yes, I think it does.
Absolutely, right? Like one of the reasons why they are there as well is because he has the feeling that he is a football man to the point where he needs to be the general manager.
He's landing his helicopter on the practice field while they're practicing.
Yep.
That's like a live episode of Succession, man.
And then he comes out with the shades. He's got the aviators working when gets off.
Got to make an entrance. Bruh,
just pull up in the Maybach or something like that, like everybody else, and walk your ass to the field.
Nah, man. If you're in the Maybach, that means you can get in that traffic. He's trying to fly right over the traffic, which honestly, I would love to be able to do, mind you, though.
Yeah.
Like if I could just helicopter around.
Well, yeah, but not in the middle of your team's practice.
Well, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. I felt terrible yesterday.
You did?
Obviously, the Astros lose game two of their wild card series, which means they're out of the postseason. I don't say it to remind you just to like poke at you. I say it because I had that particular sadness, and also I was ready for the party, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, hey, we getting to Houston. This is kind of a perpetual thing. They done battled back. Here they go, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a Tigers team that is kind of nondescript in some ways. They've been on a run, but what is it that they do well? Not much. I'm doubling, I'm tripling, I'm quadrupling down that this Astros team will come through because they've been coming through years on years on years at this point. And at the very least, even if you don't feel like super great about what this team had, you're like, okay, but what are they up against? They should be able to get this done. And they didn't.
Ain't no party like a championship party. I still remember... 2017 was awesome. It was on the road. Man. It was on the road, though.
Yes, it was.
2022, I actually got tickets to the game, and my wife and I were in right field. I don't know if you remember that, Figgy. And then we had the big party at, where was it? It was at
Little Woodrow's
in Edo. So we walked over there. Damn. And just walking over there from the stadium, man. And then people are like, there was broken glass on the, I'm not recommending this, on the floor of the people just throwing stuff everywhere and beer flying and, man, ain't nothing like it, but
maybe
it'll happen again. Maybe it'll happen in football.
I also had a moment. Yes, that is the hope. maybe we will have postseason fun in football in a few months. But I also was like, damn, y'all waited till I got here to do this
to lose.
Now I look bad. Now don't let them do anything like this
don't
again.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't let them do it.
Cause don't even bring it up.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to be Tyler Milner. I don't want it.
Oh man,
I don't want it.
So I seen a clip from Bomani Jones' podcast. He was he had Mina Kimes on, and they was talking about Christian McCaffrey, and they said exactly what I was thinking. I got the audio right here, but they pretty much summed it up exactly what I was thinking about Christian McCaffrey.
You're getting all these updates on Christian McCaffrey and what's going on in Germany, and there's like
it's over. He's at that age where it's over. Right. Like a guy, I think he's 2017. So this would be year 8 for him as a running back.
It's probably over. If it's a bunch of words I've never seen put together before on one of those injury graphics, that usually doesn't bode well for you. Combined with Germany, I don't know how no one, by the way, noticed this the entire offseason. Right. Like comes out week 1 and everyone's like, what? He's not playing. And then all of a sudden he's got this like crazy injury. Like
when they say he was going to Germany, I was like, yo, I don't know if what they doing over there is allowed.
Yeah, when I felt the same way. When
Didn't
I
we
seen,
talk about that?
Yeah, yeah, when I see he was going to Germany to, I'm like, oh yeah, that's not good.
I'm like, you got to go do the Kobe Bryant to go over there and like, the American science ain't doing enough. We need this German science.
Yeah, not only that, but for him to be on the Madden cover, that just...
That just
brung up the whole man curse all over again, man. This might have been the worst because I don't think nobody expected this. Hell, I know y'all do a lot of fantasy drafts and stuff like that. I'm sure some people took him
number one overall.
Yeah.
In my first league.
Gotta be sick.
Number one overall.
Yeah, and for the simple fact, you had no idea up until week 1 that he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Man, when I seen that Germany stuff,
and late
like, it's
in
over.
Week one, right? Like it was like Saturday.
Yeah, no, yeah. it was late.
Yeah,
and then that's where the young man who kind of took a lot of pushback.
Jordan, wait, who are we talking about?
We talk about the running back that actually played.
Oh, yeah, Jordan Mason.
Pretty much said he knew Friday or something like that.
That's right.
So that kind of stirred up a lot of mess. But, yeah, when I heard Germany, I'm like, oh, that is not good, man.
If you hear McCaffrey going to Mexico to get some of those bruja herbs, then you know it's going
to
be over.
Hey, if we hear Joe Mixon is going to see a specialist over in Germany, it's over.
All right, Cam, we behind you, my boy. Yeah. Like, at that point, that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah. Watch this.
So I was thinking about watching the Joker movie that's out. Folie à Deux. Joker Folie à Deux. And I did what I always do. And I don't know if this is a good confession or a bad one. I base all of my movie watch, like not on TV. I'll watch whatever that strikes me. But like if I go to a movie, I base everything, every part of my decision on Rotten Tomatoes reviews. Have you seen the Rotten Tomatoes reviews?
I have not.
Put it this way. I ain't going to see it.
Yeah, I heard it was... Well, I heard from other people
47% well, then, on Rotten Tomatoes.
My response to that, I guess, is maybe even a confession. It kind of annoys me how few people actually understand how the Rotten Tomatoes is.
Well, there's critics and then there's fans.
Yeah, the audience rating, right? When, and both of those are a percentage of like response.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many people that treat that number as, okay, well, this is a certain percent good, which...
No,
not really.
No.
Like it is a aggregation site. They're like, hey, all of these people have put out reviews and we're weighing them all equally based on is it generally positive or negative? It's not to what degree positive or negative, mm-hmm. it's just how many people have said generally positive things. So if there's a movie
47%?
Yeah, 47% of people said positive things and the remainder said things that were negative. Okay, that's not a good place to be necessarily. Fair enough, right? But then also, that could be if somebody was like, it's fine, but it's just barely like okay, that's negative, right?
And but if I get an 80 or above, I'm in. You know, 85.
A majority of people are saying positive things.
It's hard to look at that though, man, because like especially with a movie like that, it's a lot of nerds, and I'm one of them who look into the Marvel movies and the DC movies and stuff like that. And sometimes people just be nitpicking, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, man, it was a couple times where I almost didn't see the movie because of everybody else's reaction. And I end up seeing it later on in life. And I'm like, what's wrong with this? Like, dog, y'all being too picky on this movie, man.
Right. And then sometimes the negativity is like from a artistic point of view. And it's like, it might not be a movie that's supposed to be.
Yeah. And they be all deep in the sticks talking about, oh, yeah, well, this producer was fired and they had to rewrite the whole script. And now this producer, he's known for being lazy and bad story. Like, get out of here. It's a good movie, man. It's not that deep.
I don't think this one's a good movie.
I'm a little bit of a movie.
You should try it. Just try
Maybe when it comes out on TV.
Fair enough. Watch this. These are my confessions. Real quick, somebody said you need to send Lance McCullers over to Germany. That's, wow. Not one way. Oh, my God. All right.
Oh, man.
My confession actually inspired by yours. I don't watch movie trailers if I've decided I'm going to watch the film.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Like, especially
are some tells, some spoilers.
Because they're trying to give you just enough to get you involved. But if I've decided I'm going to watch this movie, why am I watching the trailer for? I'm going to go, like, this is, the trailer is a promotional material. I've already been promoted.
But you
like,
watch the trailers in the theater.
Well, yeah, sure.
Because they have to.
Yeah, you're there. And sometimes I find a movie that I'm like, oh, I hadn't seen that or hadn't considered going to watch that. Now I'm interested. But once I decide I'm in, I'm not seeing
it. Not going to watch it.
Which is funny because you're talking about all these people like, oh, especially with like the comic book movies, people get real. It's like, have you seen the trailers if that's part of the experience? I'm like, no, I'll just go watch the movie myself.
Are you into the comic book movie?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say, do you sit at the end of the movie?
I do.
See, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so you're already here. Into it. I'm already here. Yeah. I try and exist in all forms, which I mean, I don't know if it works necessarily or not. But yeah, a little bit of a film snob myself. Just a small bit. Watch this.
So I get a lot of spam text messages for some odd reason, and I never really pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'd be like job recruiter this, and hey, a position open, you can make $20 an hour. Click here, that type of thing. So I got one kind of similar to that, and it kind of gave me PTSD from, I guess, covering the Texans back in 2021, somewhere around there. But I got a message saying, "Hello, I'm Layla, a recruiting manager at Corn Ferry.
All right.
We that are hiring familiar. For a remote position. And if you guys don't know Corn Ferry."
That's the designer, right?
No, Corn Ferry. Was that Corn? That
the Corn, stadium designer?
No, I thought that
no,
was.
That, no, that, no.
That they, was the one that was hiring for GM,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's yeah. The one, it's a recruiting service.
That's the company that was before Nick Caserio got hired. Remember, we was going through that whole Corn Ferry thing. And who would they hire? And they looked at all of these different GMs and head coaches and pretty much told the Menares who they should hire.
Yeah.
And they just went on to hire Nick Caserio. Yeah, exactly.
I've often said consulting is a racket that I would love to get into.
Ooh, man, consultants that get those big fees.
Yeah. A lot of these former head coaches and GMs do it.
And everybody says, "I'm a consultant." And half the time, I'm like, yeah, sure. But the ones who are successful, they bank. They bank on those consultations.
Yeah, and all you do is say, "Hey, I think you should do this."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to say, especially in college football, there's a point in time where it felt like the consultants, what they were going to do, spend a little time, come back and tell you, "Hey, hire Nick Saban's best assistant."
Yeah, okay, okay.
And so, yeah, I could do that.
You know that. I hadn't thought of that.
You know what? Let's start a consulting firm, fellas.
Yeah.
Y'all good?
Yeah.
And let's do that. Mm-hmm. We'll put that on the docket. We'll circle back around to that. All right. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Those are our lunchtime confessions on a Thursday as we gear up for Texans Bills on Sunday at noon. But coming up next, let's do a little buy or sell put together by the OG himself. You buying, you selling. Get involved, 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Ah, yeah, riding along on a Thursday afternoon here on Sports Radio 610. It is In the Loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula make your day go by a little bit smoother. At practice for your Texans, Laramie Tunsil, as we mentioned, returned to practice. Tank Dell, for the second time this week, is indeed practicing, which obviously bodes well for his availability on Sunday. And then the downsides, Joe Mixon, again, not at practice. D'Amico maintains that he is day-to-day, but ooh, that's tough. And then Derek Barnett, kind of a reserve edge rusher as well, not at practice either today. So that was kind of an interesting kind of anomaly in some ways when it comes to attendance at practice.
Yeah, you never know, you know, what's going to get them or what gets them during practice, et cetera. But no Mixon, no Pierce.
Well, that's right.
Yes, no problem.
Yeah, upwards inflection, question mark?
Yeah.
All right, we'll figure out more about that as we go along. But right now, let's get our new Thursday staple, buy or sell.
Buy or sell, you guys. First one is very local and very relevant. C.J. Stroud said there's no added juice facing Josh Allen.
Not really. I mean, I'm a big fan of his, really respect him. Met him this offseason, told him that, you know, just a lot of respect for what he does. A heck of a football player. But, of course, yeah, my competitive nature is I want to win my one-on-one. But it's not like no added juice or nothing. It's just another week trying to beat. Go 1-0 versus myself. You know, I think whenever I get in my own ways, when I play bad, when I don't play as great as I can, but when I'm, you know, focusing on what I got going on, then that's when I do well. So I'm just going to focus on me, focus on the Texans and my team, and, you know, doing well for myself.
Buy or sell, no added juice.
Big buy. Big buy.
Really?
For him in particular. Yeah. And it's not even just because you could easily just go to, oh, C.J. Stroud and like kind of wax poetic about the larger. I think that you've seen, or at least I feel like I've seen within him, the same frustration that we're talking about when it comes to like execution, you could tell he's taken himself to a different level as well. Like in some ways, I know that he was asked about, and I don't remember who exactly in the media corps asked him about this. I think someone's working on a piece about his development, CJ's development with specifically, you see the Dare pass where he's checking down instead of trying to go deep.
Yeah.
He talked about that, and you could kind of hear the sense of pride that he has in the growth and development. And so he's pushing himself to be great. And I think that the frustration with the, you know, the lack of clean, the cleanliness for this offense in general, which it seems like he takes ownership of, I think that he's so focused on that right now. He's like, hey, focus on this. And of course, the messaging has been Texans don't beat the Texans. If he focuses on that, he believes they'll win. So I think that he's not worried about the added juice elsewhere.
Buy or sell?
Yeah, I'm kind of buying it too, man. I feel like there's no connection between these two. As far it wasn't like Josh Allen was doing this thing when CJ was a kid, and now he could face this quarterback he looked up to. I do think it's just another game for him.
You guys are nuts.
What?
You guys are nuts.
Why would he have extra juice against Josh Allen?
Both laid it out like, great. You both stated a great case.
If it was somebody like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, then I could be like, okay, he might have a little extra juice. But
Sell. And by the way, I think it's a good thing. I'm not criticizing CJ Stroud because this is a guy that goes on podcasts and talks trash to the Colts. This is a guy that, and again, not a criticism, treated Caleb Williams like he was Tom Brady and Caleb Williams was, you know, a wide-eyed, you know, first-year undrafted quarterback. This is a guy that talked trash to Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. This is how he's wired. He's wired, and I'm telling you, it's a good thing. He has circled this game. This is one of the same thing with Mahomes, same thing with Lamar Jackson later. This is a legacy guy. This is a guy that is all about, I want to put my, he called himself a killer.
Yeah.
You know, and all this other stuff. I love it, but I am selling this.
I got to be careful the way that I say this and lay this out, because I don't want to say that like their confidence is shaken or anything like that, but I think if they were on a roll and playing at a higher percentage of their what we believe their capacity to be, I'd lean your way.
Mm-hmm.
I think because this team is not put together the full complement of things, they're getting to a place where they're frustrated with it, and so they're more focused on we need to do and put together a full complement of what we do here. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is first and foremost, and that there's enough of that on his plate before he even gets to the idea of, oh, we need to be competitive with Josh Allen. Before you can even have that conversation, we need to be competitive on the level that we can be competitive to.
No, I get it. I just think this is a raw human emotion that competitors at his level, they take note. All right. Buy or sell. Joe Espada said it was always the plan to pitch Josh Hader and Ryan Pressly the way that he did. Buy or sell.
Well, I mean, that feels like a sell just because were you going ahead and banking on Pressly putting them on the board, putting people on bases in that way?
But just to pitch him the way I'm more leaning, talking about like the Hader thing, pitching him on what's today, on Tuesday,
game one, and then
30. How many? Did we have 36 pitches yesterday?
Yeah, in fact. I hope that I'm selling out of just hope that you did not have that, because then
me too.
I ain't got no defense for you, my boy.
Yeah, like, we planned on that.
Like, I get it. It's you need to win. You have to win. You go with your trusted arms, but you also don't want that arm to necessarily fall off.
Yeah.
In this situation, I don't know, man. I don't love that the way that it happened.
I'm selling that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think so. Hell, I felt like he ain't even really have a plan on who was going to start that game at one point.
I think you're probably right.
Like, I think he was kind of up in the air. I thought it was going to be Kikuchi, but. Yeah. It seemed like he was kind of up in the air on that, so I know he ain't playing this.
Yeah.
If you ain't even have a plan for the game two starter right then and there.
Well, no, he did say that Brown was going to start the whole time. We just didn't know about it yet.
No, see, but Figgy's saying like even before.
Yeah,
yeah, like, who am I going to pick?
I'm not. Yeah, I don't even know if I'm buying that.
Yeah, I'm selling. Like, there's no way. I think he kind of got caught up in the moment. You know, we got to bring a Hader in close game.
Yeah, bring my
best.
Who
cares about tomorrow? Which is a good philosophy when it's, you know, that type of thing. But then he's throwing, I think it was 36 pitches.
I don't understand why he brought him in for the game one.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, buy or sell. This is an interesting one to me. I'm not going to tip my hand on this, but I'm curious what your thoughts are. Justin Verlander says he wants to pitch again.
Oh, on him wanting to pitch again?
Or maybe I should refine it a little bit. Justin Verlander says he wants to pitch again, and he will.
I think he will. I'm buying that.
I'll buy it. I kind of want to sell because, like, I think the desire is just there, just generally, right? Like, that one feels evident. That's the type of thing where that desire is always there for a lot of guys before they walk mm-hmm. away. And then when they do the evaluation is, do I believe myself truly capable of going through all that? Mm-hmm. And I'm still not certain that he's going to get to that point and have that that evaluation and be like, yes, okay, we do this again.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll lean towards bye, especially because I think he has been good enough. He has a big enough name that somebody will let him get out here and try it if he wants to try it.
Yeah.
And him coming out this strong at the beginning is already in that place where it feels like that's the case.
On this one, I'm kind of on the same page with you. And let me explain it. I think this is what's going to happen if I had to predict it. I think he definitely wants to pitch next week. I think today he thinks he is going to pitch next year. I think December.
It's a long time before we get Christmas, to pitchers needing to report.
New Year's is going to roll around and he's going to go, like a lot of veterans in his place are going to go, nah, I'm good. I don't know if I want to do it.
I think also too, yeah. I think it depends on his wifey.
That's part of it.
Yeah, because I think she was public about how intense the season is and all that stuff. I think she's going to get to a point where she'd be like,
she went on a big, it was in a story of some sort. Like, she had a lot of quotes about that. Like,
yeah.
And I think, you know, Christmas is going to roll around. He's going to go, eh.
Yeah.
But I think today he does.
Yeah. I think he don't want to go out like this.
Yeah.
I think he want to have another solid season.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be with the Astros or whatever, but he want to have another solid season, full season. And I think after that, I think the wife is going to be like, hey, I want you around the kids a little more, man.
I think the other part of it that might happen is, does he want to do it for $10 million? Because it ain't going to be 30.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't going to be 30. All right. Buy or sell. Doug Peterson was adamant. He has not lost the locker room.
That's a sell. In fact, we're selling wholesaling it all.
It ain't lost. I know where it's at.
Yeah, exactly. I can get this anytime I want to.
I'm patting my, looking for my key. Well, it ain't lost. I know exactly where I put it.
So I'm guessing that's a sell for you, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is also the thing. Mm-hmm. Are you the one who would know? Right? Like, he might be. Maybe if you're really self-aware, you'd be able to know. But I do wonder, is he going to be, would he even be the first to know, right? Like, mm-hmm. is that a situation where he might be the last to know that, hey, your message actually isn't landing? And so it does not feel like he has the locker room if you look at some of the things that have been said in public and just also if you see the way that the team has performed at times.
Nah, he's definitely, I think he's at this point just sticking the middle finger up at them.
He is. I'm
like,
with you.
Like, nope, I ain't lose it. He know he did.
Yeah.
But at this point, he's just like, man, ain't nothing else I can do at this point. Yeah. This is on y'all.
It's not like he's got the bona fides to stand on. He has to deny if he wants to give himself any shot of retaining his job.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of protecting y'all.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys both. Oh, this is another one of my favorite ones right here. I'm literally laughing as I'm looking at it. The Raiders said Davante Adams is not going to play because of a hamstring injury.
Yeah, I'm buying that. He's hamstrung by the fact that he's got to play with these sorry-ass quarterbacks. Like, no, yeah, no, it's clearly a sell. Like, it's very evident.
He ain't going to play. He's got a little hamstring thing going on.
Yeah, no, it's very evident that what is happening is that he is ready to go. It is time to go. And so whatever y'all got to say, and that hamstring will clear out mighty, mighty quickly when he is not in that desert air, I bet.
Yeah, I'm selling this, too. When your head coach is liking the post on trading you or whatever the post was about. Yeah, you played your last time here, buddy.
I saw a gif of that female soccer player. I don't remember her name. She scored a goal, starts limping and limping and limping, and then she twerks. That's going to be Davante Adams.
Yeah, the fake injury celebration. I don't know how tasteful it is, mm-hmm. but it's always funny to me.
That was the best one I saw.
Incredible.
Of all that. She's just like,
I didn't remember her name
as well.
And then
she starts twerking. All right, I got another one or two here for you.
Yes, sir.
Robert Saleh says there is, quote, no cadence issue about Aaron Rodgers and the problems that they had. Of course, he said this after he said previously there was a cadence issue, but then Aaron Rodgers rebutted it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that is what's the right way? I guess buy that there's no cadence issue. Because, you're not in a position to talk about any cadence issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your offense.
Yeah.
That's Aaron's offense.
He
tells you if there's a cadence issue.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how this works.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that. You made that decision once you abandoned the, or you created a vacuum of leadership by putting Nathaniel Hackett there.
Yeah.
You knew what was happening. That's a figurehead. And so, there are no issues if Aaron Rodgers says no issues on offense.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Aaron Rodgers on this.
I think I'm with you. I think I am with you. I got one more, and it's not necessarily apropos of anything local, but I just found it funny, and I wanted to get Figgy's response on this in particular. So Julius Randle got traded from the Knicks to the Timberwolves. His wife, Kendra, was apparently interviewed or on a podcast or something shortly after, and she said that she would rather live in Minnesota than New York City. Now, keep in mind, she has a clothing line, and she's a big-time influencer and all that. She said she would rather live in Minnesota than New York City anyway. His wife, Kendra.
Where is she from? Because, you know, the big city doesn't always... It doesn't always appeal to everybody.
That's true. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't like New York City. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot going on, man. Yeah. Somebody from a smaller city, some people don't like that.
New York City is like Las Vegas to me in the fact that I don't want to spend more than about 3 or 4 days there.
Okay.
It's great. It's awesome. But I would never want to spend more.
New York is very particular. People like the idea of New York. Actually loving New York, you either love it or you don't.
Yeah.
Like there's not a lot of in between there. And so I do wonder, and it's Minnesota, like, yeah, it's cold, but it's kind of cold in New York. So if you can handle that, that's cool. Minneapolis itself, not a bad city. Like, so
no, it's a great city.
I'm inclined to believe her. Depending on where she's from.
I am too. I think I'm buying this.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. A lot of people, and it's a little more laid back too.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna say a little more because it's New York City.
Yeah,
but it's laid back. Sometimes you don't want to deal with all that traffic and sirens and all that stuff. Sometimes you just want some peace and quiet, man.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. In trying to clear this up, she said that the family was already considering moving out of New York City proper. So,
okay,
yeah,
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, and I hadn't either. I was just kind of trying to find where she is from originally to kind of maybe see if that would give us an insight.
And I think they have kids, which would be a factor.
Where's she from?
I don't know. Okay. I didn't find that. But what I did find is that apparently they were already thinking about moving out of the city. So it's like, okay,
yeah.
There you go.
I got to read this text real quick. They said that Verlander's wife, Kate?
Kate Upton
is going to cuss him out like Figgy's wife did.
Yeah, she was not. By the way, how are things on the
she, she's
chili?
Good.
Okay.
Cool. Did she eat any more of the venison chili?
Nah, she
Come
did.
On.
I don't know. She's never eating venison chili. She might not eat food from you ever again.
I know, man. I know. She whatever I bring home from you, she's going to say, what is this?
What is this? Is there a test?
And don't lie.
I need documentation. That's right. All right, man. That's a little buy or sell in the loop. Sports Radio 610. 3 hours down on this Thursday. One more hour to go before we hand it off to Clinton B. Scott hanging out at Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. That'll be coming up at 2. But coming up next, let's talk about this Astros team. Obviously, they're done in the postseason for this 2024 season. Where do they go from here? Obviously, particularly also with Bregman. We'll talk about all that next.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.